The seventh perek concludes the avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. We are now picking up from when they received the sign in the Beis HaMikdash that the Seir LaAzazel had reached the destination in the Midbar, upon which they were permitted to continue the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. And the next part of the avoda that they would start now is the Kriyas HaTorah by the Kohen Gadol in the Ezras Nashim. So the Mishnah says as follows: Ba'alo Kohen Gadol Likros, the Kohen Gadol comes to read the Sefer Torah. Imratza Likros beBigdei Vutz Koref, he wants to continue wearing the linen garments, the Bigdei Lavan that he's been wearing for the past avoda that he's been doing. He's permitted to continue wearing those garments. Vimlo, if he doesn't want to continue wearing those garments, Korah beIstalis Lavan Mishol, he's permitted to wear a white robe of his own. And now the Sefer Torah was taken out. It was a Beis HaKnesses, a shul, a synagogue, located next to the chatzer of the Beis HaMikdash. So they took out the Sefer Torah from there. So the Mishnah now talks about the removal of the Sefer Torah and the handing it over to the Kohen Gadol, which was a process, chazan HaKnesses. That's the shamish in the Beis HaKnesses. They used to take care of the needs in the shul. Notal Sefer Torah, he would take it out of the Beis HaKnesses, where the Sefer Torah was kept, and Nosno LaRosh HaKnesses, and he gave it to the head of the Knesset. It's talking about the Gabai, the person who ran the shul, V'Rosh HaKnesses, Nosno LaSkan, and the third person to receive it, the head of the shul, that was the Gabai of the shul, gave it to the Skan. The Skan is the substitute, should the Kohen Gadol be unable to serve if, for example, he became Tamei v'haskan nosno l'kohen gadol, and now it comes out to the Kohen Gadol. That was the chain of the handing of the Sefer Torah from the Chazan, who was the Shamish, to the Rosh HaKnesses, who was the Gabai, to the Skan Kohen, and now to the Kohen Gadol. So the Sveskan knows from the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol Omed, the Kohen Gadol would stand up. In other words, the implication is he was sitting, and there's a prohibition to sit in the Beis HaMikdash in many parts, except the Ezras Nashim, it was permitted to sit. So we see here, we learn from that fact that the Kohen Gadol was sitting before he stood to receive the Sefer Torah, that they were located now in the Ezras Nashim. Umekabel, he would receive the Sefer Torah, Vekora Omed, and he would read the Sefer Torah standing. And now we're going to talk about what parts of the Kriya, what parts of the Chumash did he read. So there were three parts that were read. The first one was Vekora Acharei Mos. He read from Acharei Mos, which discusses in detail the avoda on Yom Kippur. So that's in Vayikra, Perek Tetzayin. And then he would continue. Va'ach be'esor was the second parsha. They actually had to roll the Sefer Torah fairly quickly, so there wouldn't be a tircha tetzibura. So it's rolling for about 6-7 prakim till they got to the reading of Ach be'esor, which talks about the halachas of Yom Kippur. And then the Mishnah says v'golal Sefer Torah ma'nicho becheko. Then he would roll and close the Sefer Torah, and we would put it against his chest. He's not going to read from the Sefer Torah anymore, but there is still some kriya to do. Va'omer Yoser Mimasha Karasi Lifnechem Kasuvkan. I'm going to be reading Baal Pech. The Kohen Gadol is going to be reading by heart now because they're not able to roll all the way to where he needs to get. It's in Bamidbar Perek Haftes. It would be a Tircha de Tzibura, had to have everyone waiting around. So he reads the last few psukim of the Kriya Baal Peh by heart, but he announces to everyone before he does that the Kriya is in the Chumash. It is all included here. There's much more in the Chumash than I'm reading here today to inform them that the Kriya that he's about to say is in the Chumash. He just doesn't want to be matriach them to wait until they rolled all the way to get there. The Mishnah then continues that the brachas that the Kohen Gadol would say after the Kriyas HaTorah, it doesn't mention here in the Mishnah, but he would say a bracha before as well, just like when we have aliyahs nowadays, we say the bracha asher nasan lanu asher b'charbanu mikol amim. That was the bracha that he said before, and then it lists out 8 brachas that the Kohen Gadol would say after the Kriyas HaTorah. So it says as follows. We're not going to go in detail into them, but we'll just mention them. Uvarach aleha shmona brachas. Then he would say a bracha. He would say 8 brachas after the Kriya. Number one was Al HaTorah. That's when he said, Asher Nasamana Torah Semes, like we have after our Kriyas HaTorah, Val HaAvoda, special bracha for the avoda in the base of Mikdash, Val HaOdah is a bracha like Modim Anachto Lak that we say in our Shemona Esrays. And number four was Val Mechilas HaAvon for the forgiveness of sins. Number five, Al HaMikdash Bifnei Atzmo, he had a special bracha for the base of Mikdash. It says Bifnei Atzmo, it was an unusual bracha. So the Mishnah is telling us that it was its own bracha for the base of Mikdash. And number six, Va'al Yisrael Bifnei Atman, a special bracha of a Klal Yisrael, also was a separate bracha by itself. We are not Gores Val Yushalayim Bifnei Atzma, so that was not a separate bracha. Number seven, Val HaKohanim Bifnei Atzma, a special bracha for the Kohanim, was number seven. Then number eight, Va'al Shar HaTfila, literally on the rest of the Tfila, that was a bracha, like we say, Shomeya Tfila, it's a catch-all phrase that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should hear our Tfila. Mishnah Beis tells us a technical point that people could choose to either hear the Kriyas HaTorah in the Ezras Nashim by the Kohen Gadol, or they could go and follow and observe the burning of the Par and Seir outside of Yerushalayim. But they cannot do both because they were done basically at the same time and there was a significant distance between the two, with the Kriya being done in the base of Mikdash and the burning of the carcasses of the Par v'Seir being done outside of Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah says as follows, Haroa Kohen Gadol Keshu Kore, anyone who was listening to the Kriya, watching the Kohen Gadol during the Kriya Satorah, Eino Roa Par v'Seir Hanisrafim, would be unable to see the Par and Seir as they were being burnt, the Haroa Par v'HaSeir Hanisrafin, and somebody who was observing the Par and Seir being burnt, Eino Roa Kohen Gadol Keshu Kora, would be unable to view the Kohen Gadol and listen to the Kohen Gadol as he was doing the Kriyas HaTorah, the Lomibnei Sheino Rashai. The point is not that you were not allowed to. That's not the issue, that you're not allowed to see one or the other, only permitted to see one and not the other. That's not the concept. In theory, you could go to both. Ela shahaisa derech rechoka, but rather there was a significant distance between the two, umelecha shneim shava ka'achas, and they were being performed at the same time. Mishnah Gimel is a fairly complicated Mishnah, so we'll give some background and context before getting into the language of the Mishnah. As we've mentioned many times, there are five tefillas on the day of Yom Kippur for the Kohen Gadol, and there's a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim before and after each. The tefillas are done in order for the Kohen Gadol to change into different clothing. He has two sets. The Bigdei Zahav are worn in phase 1, 3, and 5. And the Bigdei Lavan are worn in phases 2 and 4. So we have completed phase number 2. In phase number 2 was a lot of our discussion of the Par and the Seir and the Ketores, and that was the Avodas Pnim, when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kedoshim. In fact, he went in 3 times during phase number 2, and as we'll see in phase number 4, he will go in a 4th time into the Kodesh Kedoshim. The Kohen Gadol only went into the Kodesh Kedoshim while wearing the Bigdei Lavan. The Bigdei Lavan only worn on Yom Kippur, while the Bigdei Zahav worn in phases 1, 3, and 5 were the clothing that the Kohen Gadol wore all year round. In our Mishnah, we're now going to move on to discuss what happened in phase number 3. This is when the Kohen does the 3rd tefillah b'mikvah, and he's going to change back into the Bigdei Zahav, and he's going to continue with the avoda. So the Mishnah says as follows, Im b'bigdei butz koreh, if the Kohen Gadol read the Kriyas HaTorah still wearing the linen clothing that he wore throughout phase number 2, and in other words, he didn't change into his personal clothing. Had he changed into his personal clothing for the Kriyas HaTorah, he would have done a Kiddush Yadayim and Raglayim before removing the Bigdei Lavan that he was wearing in phase 2. But if he did not do that, in other words, he's still wearing the Bigdei Lavan that he wore throughout phase number 2, Kidesh Yada V'Raglav, now at this point after the Kriyas HaTorah is a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, Pashat, he takes off the Bigdei Lavan, Yarad, he goes into the Mikvah, this is the 3rd Tefillah of the day, and we're entering into phase number 3, V'Yarad V'Tavol, and he does the Tefillah, Alav, and he stops, again, he comes out of the Mikvah, and he dries himself off. Hey, Vila Bigdei Zahav, they bring him the Bigdei Zahav once again, V'Lavash, and he wears them, and he does another V'Kidesh Yada V'Raglav, another Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, so we're now into phase 3, we've had the tefillah and the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim before and thereafter, the yatsa, the asas, eloves el ha'am. Now he's going out to do his ram and the ram of the tzibur. Let's give a little bit background here. There are other korbanos that we have not discussed before, and we're going to put it into two categories. We'll call it category A and category B. Category number A, category A was an ayil, which is the ram brought by the Kohen Gadol, and an additional ram brought by Klal Yisrael. So we have two rams, two elim. So that's all category number one. So that's what the Kohen Gadol did, according to this, at the beginning of phase three. It's his ayil and the ayil of the Klal Yisrael. And then the second category, category B, of the korbanos are the korbanos of the musaf on Yom Kippur, just like every other chag, just like Shabbos, we have musaf offerings. At the time we had the Beis Hamikdash, show to here, we had the korbanos musaf, and this had three categories of animals underneath it. Number one was a par. Look, this par was an ola, a korban ola. This has nothing to do with the par that we had in phase number two, where the kohen set a vidui on it, etc. This is not related to that par. There are, in addition, Shiva Kvasim, which are seven sheep. This was also a korban ola. So that is grouping number two of animals. These are all parts of the korban musa. So we have a par, we have Shiva Kvasim, and we also have another goat, which is a seir. This is a korban chatas. Now, what's confusing here is that this seir is called seir hana'ase bachutz, the seir literally that's done outside. This does not relate to the seir laHashem, the shnei seirim that we had in phase number two. One was laHashem and one was laAzalzel. This is a different seir. This seir is called Hanaseh Bachutz because we're distinguishing it from the seir laHashem. Whereas the seir laHashem in phase number two, the avoda, the sprinkling of its blood, was done inside, part in the Kodesh Kedoshim and part at the curtain and part on the Mizbeach Hazav in the Heichal. This one is going to be a more typical seir being brought as a korban chatas, and the sprinkling is going to be on the Mizbeach that is in the Azara, that is outside in the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. So what we're about to enter into is a machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva when the korbanos of musaf were done during the day. So these three categories of korbanos musaf, the par, the shiva kvasim, and the seir hanaseh bachutz, when was that all done? So the Mishnah continues. We'll just take a step back and read a little bit of what we read before. V'yatza, v'asa, es eilo, v'es eil ha'am. Now that we're in phrase number three, the korban is wearing his bigdei zahav. Once again, he would immediately bring his ayil and the ayil of the am. That is all in category number three. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, all of the korban musaf, all the three categories, the par, the shiva kvasim, and the seir, hanaseh bachutz, were all done not in phase number three, but later in the day before the Korban Tami Chabain Harbaim, which was done in phase number five. In other words, we're going to have a changing of clothing twice before then. We're going to get back to phase number five. The Kohen Gadol will be wearing the Big Day Zahav again at that point, and that is when he is going to bring all of these Korbanos of the Musaf. So the Mishnah continues, that Shivas Kvasim Timimim B'nei Shana, that is when the Kohen, and it's going to bring those Sheva Kvasim. And in fact, not only that, but the Mishnah doesn't mention it, but he's going to bring all of the Korbanos of the Musaf. He's going to bring the Par and the Shiva Kvasim, which are mentioned here, and the Seir as well. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So we see the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that the Musaf was all together. All of those three categories of animals were brought as the Korban Musaf as a unit, but it was not done in phase number three. It was done later in phase number five, right before the Korban Tami Shel Bein Harbaim. Rabbi Akiva is going to disagree. Rabbi Akiva Omer, not only does he disagree as to the Musaf not being brought as a unit together, but in fact, he's going to place it in different times throughout the day. So Rabbi Akiva Omer, Im Tamid Shal Shachar Hayu Krevim Upar Ha'ola. Im Tamid Shal Shachar Hayu Krevim is talking about the Sheva Kvasim. The seven of the Kvasim were brought together with phase number one. We're going back in time in phase number one together with the Tamid Shel Shachar. So that is when the Shiva Kvasim were brought, and also the Par Ha'ola. So two of the three categories of animals of the Korban Musaf, according to Rabbi Akiva, were brought early in phase number one with the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. And continuing, we still have the other component, the third component of the Musaf, is Sa'ir Hanaseh Bachutz. When was that brought? He says, Im Tamid Shel Bein Harbaim, it was brought literally in phase number five, But in fact, that is not the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. We don't take it literally in phase number five with the Tam Yishal Ben Arba'im. Rabbi Akiva is simply saying that that Sayur HaNaseh Bachutz, which is also part of the Musaf, it's not brought with the rest of the Korban Musaf that was brought in phase number one with the Tamid Shel Shachar, but rather it's brought at a later point, and he exaggerated, and it says it's brought with the Tam Yishal Ben Arba'im, which is the fifth phase, but in fact it's brought in the third phase, according to Rabbi Akiva. So it's brought in the third phase. That is what we are discussing right now in our Mishnah. It was brought after the Isle of the Kohen Gadol and the Isle of the Tzibur. At that point, according to Rabbi Akiva, is when the Sa'ir HaNa'aseh Bachutz was brought. Mishnah Dalet gets us to phase number four, where the Kohen Gadol is going to change back to the Bigdei Lavan. As mentioned, the Bigdei Lavan, the special clothing for the Kohen Gadol that was worn only on Yom Kippur, was worn in phase number two and phase number four. At both of those opportunities, that's when the Kohen Gadol entered the Kodesh Kadoshim. So here we go, Mishnah Dalet, Kidesh Yada Varaglav. We have a Kiddush Yadayim Varaglayim, Ufashat, and now the Kohen Gadol takes off the Bidei Zahav that he wore in phase number three, the Arad, and he goes into the Mikvah V'Tavol. He does a Tefillah V'Alah. He comes out of the Mikvah V'Nistapag, and he dries himself off. He Viulo Bigdei Lavan. They bring him the Bigdei Lavan, V'Lavash. He gets dressed, and then V'Kidesh Yada V'Raglav. We have another Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. In other words, we have for this phase a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, Tefillah number four, and again, Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. And now the Kohen, wearing the Bigdei Lavan, goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim for the fourth and final time. Nichnas Lehotzi Esakaf V'Esamachta. He goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim to take out the kaf, which was the ladle and the machta and the shovel that he used to offer the Ketores back at the beginning of phase, towards the beginning of phase number two. And now we're going to go into phase number five. We have Kiddush Yadav Raglav, another Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and the Kohen is going to be putting on the Bigdei Zahav Ufashad. He takes off the Bigdei Lavan used for phase number four that he used to go into the Kodesh Kadoshim. The Yarad, he goes, the Tavol, he does another Tefillah. This is the fifth and final Tefillah of the day. Alav and Istapak, he comes out of the mikvah and he dries himself off. Hey, Viulo, Bigdei Zahav Lavash. They bring him the Bigdei Zahav, phase number five, and he gets dressed in them. Bikidush Yadav Raglav, another Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. This is number nine of the day, the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. And Nichtas, the Haktir Ketores, Shelbein Harbayim. He goes and he does the Ketores of Shelbein Harbayim. This is not a special Ketores for Yom Kippur. This is the ordinary Ketores that was done every day of the year. Part in the morning, part in the afternoon. So we did the part in the morning in phase one. Now we're doing the part in the afternoon in phase number five. Ulehitiv es aneros. And again, just like in phase number one, the coin now is going to be meitiv the neros. That means cleaning on them off from the lighting that was done in the morning, and he lights them. So we have the cleaning up of the menorah from the ash and lighting of the menorah. And now the Kohen Gadol has completed the avoda of the day. So he's going to change into his normal personal clothing. V'kidesh yadav raglav, in order to take off the Bigdei Zahav, we have a Kiddush Yadayim V'raglayim, Ufashad, he takes off the Bigdei Zahav. Hey, viulo Bigdei Atzmo, they bring him his own personal clothing, v'lavash, and he gets dressed in them, u'milavin oso al beiso, and in a joyous way, they would escort the Kohen Gadol back to his house. And that night, Motza Yom Kippur, v'yom tov haya oso lo ahavav, b'sha'a sheyatza b'sholo min ha-kodesh, that he would make, the Kohen Gadol would make a party, a festive party for those, for his friends and family, people who he wanted to invite, in celebration of his coming out of Shalom from the Kodesh. In other words, as we've talked about in the past, a Kohen who, even if he was a proper Kohen who had the right criteria, Yirei Shamayim, but he did the Avoda in an incorrect way, would unfortunately die in the Kodesh Kodashim. And we see that this Kohen, Baruch Hashem, got through the entire Avoda unscathed, so that is a reason to be festive. Mishnah Hay, to complete the parak, tells us about the clothing worn by regular Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol. The Mishnah says as follows, Kohen Gadol, Mishamish B'shmona Kalim, the Kohen Gadol wears on an ordinary day and also partially on Yom Kippur, eight various garments, that's the Bigdei Zahav that we've been referring to, Vahedyot Arba, and an ordinary Kohen wears 4 pieces of clothing. And now it lists out the clothing worn by a regular Kohen, Biksones, Umichnasayim, Umitznefes, Avnet. Literally, we won't go into the detail, but he wears a tunic, the Michnasayim, pants, trousers. The mitznefet on the head was a turban, and the avnet was the belt worn by the Kohen, the regular Kohanim, and when it came to the Kohen Gadol, an additional 4, Mosif Alav Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol would have an additional 4, the choshen, which was the breastplate, one at the front, the ephod, the apron worn on the back, the me'il, the robe, and the tzitz worn on his head. And just to conclude, an additional important point when it comes to the Big day, Bigadim of the Kohen Gadol, the 8 garments worn by the Kohen Gadol, Be'elu Nisharin, Be'urim V'tumim, the Kohen Gadol who would wear the Urim and Utumim, that was the special Shem Hashem, Shem Mefurash, that was could not be pronounced at all, that was folded within the Choshen, in order to ask questions and have HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond via the Urim V'tumim, the Mishnah tells us that the Kohen Gadol had to be wearing the Shmona Begadim, the 8 pieces of clothing. And in addition, when it comes to asking questions via the Urim V'tumim, it would only be the Kohen Gadol who was asking while wearing those 8 garments. But for whom could the questions be asked? Vein Nishalin, Ela LaMelech, the only people that could ask the questions with the Kohen Gadol wearing the Urim V'tumim, and the Kohen Gadol would interpret the answers through Ruach HaKodesh. It would only be if the question came from the king, Ula Beistin, or the Sanhedrin Agadol, 71 members, Ula Misha Tzibor Tzarechbo, or somebody that all of Klal Yisrael needed, and it was a question that impacted on all of Klal Yisrael. For example, the special Kohen that would lead the Klal Yisrael out to a war called the Meshuach Milchama, if he had a question of national significance, then he too could ask questions of the Kohen Gadol wearing the Urim V'tumim.